Hi Sandra, and there we are back again for the continuation of the story, which I have now given the title of Vetico. And the first part was then the foundations. Vetico is that word of which the Indians used to describe that contagious madness in humanity, in society. And in the first part, I've described the foundations of Vetico. The madness in humanity, and that the madness in humanity is essentially a consequence of using freedom of choice as a universal principle, which has been nicely unfolded in tetrionics on the basis of the change of the quantum theory, tetrionic quantum theory. I've also connected that to freedom of choice, that within us we can operate freedom of choice, and we can actually flip a quantum, and in doing so change the boundary from positive to negative, quite literally. Boundary membranes in the body go from positive to negative, attraction, repulsion are regulated by that. In that way, the cells regulate how they work together, we regulate how we work together. And I also talked about the way that Bert Verveen has helped us to see that out of cell replication, we can understand how cells connect and interconnect and together form one integral system, units in unity, and that for humanity the same would be the case, except, and that's a topic which we can address now, when things go wrong. I've already indicated that the things which can then go wrong can be ascribed to something going wrong in puberty, that where people should go from being dependent as a baby and a child to being independent and interdependent as an adolescent and adult, that something doesn't happen there. So maybe it's easier if I start to connect it to that story of the development of humans in humanity, in growing up from baby to adult, and how autonomy and sovereign beings should be the essential part of the story then. But that it is not, because other people superimpose something onto that, crippling, limiting, eliminating, denying freedom of choice of people, as a result of which humans cannot properly develop and humanity cannot properly develop. So by institutions so as government systems or money systems, trade agreements, which are exactly like monopolies, people have been limited, but as a result humanity has been limited. Also, there's a lot of problems that have been ascribed to humanity, such as contagious diseases, such as pollution of the planet, such as war, which are actually not created by humanity. And so at the core of that all is a confusion between individuals and groups, the pretense that groups are like individuals or that individuals are like groups. We see that in capitalism versus communism, or individual versus collectivism. And it is good to have a bit of a look at that. And then we will need to address topics like growing up in humanity, the principle of normalitis, an inflamed sense of self-righteousness, which is also afflicting others. We will need to look at how this relationship between, say, capitalism and communism, which are basically two same stories. And most importantly, it will be necessary to understand how much pathology is going on, and in a way that we live in a kind of dirty middle ages of the mind. In the middle ages, in the villages and cities, people would give a shout and then empty the urine from the bedrooms that thought on the street, leaving stinking streets, vermin, infectious diseases going around, all of a lack of hygiene. And in the same way, We have a kind of cesspool of the mind and the collective mind. And as came up in sort of conversations with Joaquin, in a way, one of the problems that we are suffering now is that people have learned to repress problems in their mind, from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious to the out of conscious. But as a result of pressing it into the out of conscious, they can happily deny that it exists for them, but instead it has become a problem for the collective. And that in humanity, at that unconscious level, as he described it, it is as if the bag of the vacuum cleaner is so full that there's not room for any more. We now need to learn to clean up our own mess, take responsibility for our own life, learn how to operate our own choices, and realize that by our choices we affect or afflict each other. So let me first start with that notion of growing up in humanity and what goes wrong there, and connect that to the notion of normalitis, the false images which people then live by. In the development of humanity, I mentioned that before, we grow up from baby to child to adolescent to adult. The baby in the cradle, dependent, they need to be cared for totally. There's nothing much that they can do by themselves. Eating and shitting, pissing and entertainment, in a way, all needs to be provided. Because from where they are, their body cannot carry them. They're just in that one spot. And for them, that's what the universe is about. Paradoxically, that same development from baby to child to adolescent to adult we see reflected in classical science, relativity theory, quantum theory, and unified field theory. It's that growing up into a different perspective which needs to be understood. And in system theory, that development from baby to child to adolescent to adult, or from classical to relativistic to probabilistic to unified science, is called first order, second order, third order, and fourth order system. The first order is the steady state, the second order is the variational state, the third order is the transformation of the state, and the fourth order is the integration of the state. I mentioned before that in healthcare, you would call it health, adaptation, compensation, and decompensation. And what I need to focus on in this part of the story is that third level, the level of adolescence, puberty, the level of the transformation. That is where the part connects to the whole. And actually, in our life and in our biology, that's what we then see best in the way the body develops. So the baby, dependent, needs to be cared for. Baby hollers and then somebody comes look and see what might it be this time. Attention or sleep, feeding or elimination. Basically those four options. That is also the counterpart of dictatorship in the political social area. That is the first order system. Second order system is when the baby developed and becomes less dependent. There are some things which can do, some things cannot do. So the things it can do, it's eat and excrete. Some things that can do better is sleep and entertainment or self-entertainment. But the thing which is not yet readily available is autonomy. Finding your own food, taking care of the garden, such things. So that's where the environment still is very important. But that's also where it shifts from, say, the mother care with the breastfeeding for the baby to the mother and the father showing how things work in the home, the household, the neighborhood, and the community. that phase of development of the child, which is then, say, what in political arena would be the oligarchy, is also the understanding of hierarchy, the things which you cannot do yet, things which other can do, how that sort of keeps a dependence into the picture. But there are also things that can't be done already. The self-standing quality of the child is there. Going to the third order system, that is where self and the non-self start to connect. Before that, there's just boys and girls. Then the hormones kick in gear, and suddenly there's boys with interest in girls, girls with interest in boys, and together they discover that each of them is half human, and they together can form a whole human. It is the realization that they have their limitations. In the development of science, it would be that the childhood level corresponds with relativity theory, with the event horizons. There's still a boundary to what you can do and see. And probability theory said, well, actually, at the event horizon, at that boundary, it's the quantum leap. You just have to be there to jump into the unknown and realize that there's something else. Likewise, in puberty, boy meets girl, together they realize that they're half human, together form a whole human. But in doing so, they realize that as half human, they have their limitations. Both of them do. And together they can transcend that limitation. That is the essence of puberty, the transformation, the transcendence of that limitation, the crossing of the boundary into the unknown. And then, as science did not quite understand, the realization that at the other side of the unknown, things just go on. The form is different, the way it works is different. The river flows into a different landscape at the other side of the watershed of the mountain, but there is still flow of river, and there's still a mountain, there's still a valley. Just different mountain, different valley. At that point, the child, which has father and mother as parent, realizes the child is father or mother as a parent, and that changes everything. It goes from passive to active. Also from reactive to interactive, and all of that is characteristic for that third order system, the crossing of the boundary from the known into the unknown, and also the crossing of that limitation from the usual to the unusual. Again, in healthcare you would call that the transition from health to adaptation to compensation, and to then finally decompensation or recompensation. And so at that third level, there is that degree of compensation, that it is possible to see that things are different now, but that's okay, because you can do things differently now. Fundamentalists and other people who are rigid in their beliefs and convictions, they have difficulty with that. As I mentioned before, we have freedom of choice, then we have decisions, then we have convictions, then we have reflex behavior. But reflex behavior only operates if the circumstances are the same. If the circumstances are changing, or if the circumstances are different, then these reflexes backfire. They don't work anymore. And so new reflexes need to be made. If people do not make new reflexes by having new convictions, this is normal now, because they did not take a new decision, I'm somewhere else now, I need to do things differently, then instead of integration in the environment, they get disintegration into the environment. And that's where a lot of these wars come from, and a lot of the conflicts, interpersonal conflicts, intrapersonal conflicts come from. So let me first go into this concept of normalitis, to then go into this concept of learning and adaptation, essentially the quality of the immune system and the identity and the integrity of identity. Normalitis is the term that I introduced to describe the situation when things are normal. Actually, that is a very abnormal situation. Normalitis simply assumes that things are as they are because they will be as they were. It is a projection of a perception. It is the future seen as the past, but it is more importantly a reliance on reflex. As I mentioned, we have freedom of choice, but freedom of choice always operates in the unknown. You don't know, so you need to create something. You need to create a decision, and you're free to make the wrong decision. It is what's normally described as you take a bite of the apple and then you chew it. When you have taken a bite of the apple, you need to see if there's a worm in there or if you can actually eat it, if you need to spit it out or if you chew it and swallow it down. Then once you have done that, there is no stopping it. Once swallowed down, your body needs to be able to deal with it. It will deal with it, it will digest it. It will assimilate or eliminate, and then at some point out comes the turd with the remainders of that apple. In the same way, we have freedom of choice. Now we see the apple, we have the decision, we take the bite of the apple, then we swallow the apple, the belief system operates on it. Now we have our internal experience of that specific decision that we created. And then out comes a third of the experience. We have a reflex behavior which reflects our conviction. It's a digestive process. It is the same in digesting something. It's the same as perceiving something. Sensory cells, then the neurons, then the plexus, then the brain. It's the same as in sex, physical contact, physiological response, neurocrine response, electrifying, and then consciousness response, orgasm. It's the same at so many different levels. Always these four elements of alchemy or system theory or cybernetics, the four-dimensional logic can be perceived. But if the choices are no longer operated, then the reflexes take their place. So normalitis is the word that simply voices that when people start to operate by reflex, then they become dependent on their circumstances. In a way, they go back to childhood and babyhood. Some people, for that reason, choose the life of adventure. Some people are forced to take that kind of life by being told to join the army, being flung into the unknown all the time. Other people try to find out in sexual hunt, or travel discoveries, or reading addictions, have feeding themselves with new information all the time so that they stay away from that percolation into fixed, ritualized, reflex, routine behavior. It is so important to realize that normalitis has to do with living by reflex and operating by routine. And when you look in society, everything that can be repeated, everything that can be automated, everything that has a protocol or a procedure is living life at a reflex level. And when doctors are told that they have to live by the protocol, and if they do that, then they cannot be sued for malpractice, then that is replacing thinking by unthinking. Artificial intelligence, which makes use of computers which can repeat something but cannot think for themselves, are another example of this ritualistic, routine, reflex, conditional living behavior. Behavior itself is when reflexes take over our life, determine our life, and actually our conditions condition what we experience. So normalitis is a very dubious kind of domain to live in, because yes, everything is normal and everything is as agreed upon and everything is sort of predictable, but at the same time, there's no living going on. There's no learning going on. It's just more of the same. If at the end of your life you look back and see that you've been watching television 300 days of your year throughout your life, and in the end of your life, it is just one picture of you watching television, because all of these other pictures are basically the same. In your life experience, you want to have more pictures when you die, more experience, more different things, more newness, more learning, more choices, more participation in creation. And normalitis does not have that. So once you see that normalitis is so conditioned and ingrained in the lives of so many people, in the bureaucracies of government, in the laws which say what people can and cannot do, in the regulations which have been made in which people can or cannot vote. If you look at life in that way, then every of these laws and every of those decisions is like cutting away something from the picture. This is no longer looked at. That is no longer seen. This is from now on denied. We'll just ignore the other bit. So the picture of life becomes smaller and smaller the more everything is taken over by reflex, ritual, routine, regulations. And in that sense, normalitis is very unhealthy because you stop living, but also dangerous because at the moment that the conditions and circumstances change, there is no longer an appropriate response. In order to be able to change reflexes and acquire new reflexes, you need to do the undone. You need to look for adventure. You need to be able to disagree with things. You need to talk with people who have a different perspective. You need to go to countries where people do things differently. You need to find people who talk in a different language. You need to find people who experience things in a totally different manner. And in puberty, of course, that's what we learn. The male and the female meet up and discover that a life experience from the perspective of neurons, the male, is very different from the complementary perspective of life as experienced from hormones, the female. Actually, both then discover that we all have both hormonal and neuronal, and that we all experience the neurocrine regulatory system in which we fit into our environment, and it is that regulatory system which helps us get out of the conditioning of the normalitis. It is that neurocrine system, the neurons and the hormones, which is actually part of the immune system, the cells adapting to new cells and new experience in the environment, which is actually part of our learning capacity, the capability to learn, to relearn, to unlearn, to operate consciousness with awareness, with intent. So it is from the immune system that we can learn that our identity and our integrity is not based on what we have done before, but on, based on what we can experience. And just as an aside, that's why vaccination doesn't work, because vaccination means that something is injected into you outside of the context from which it originates. If you get a flu, it's because you have gone to China, you have visited the duck farms where ducks are kept in such an unhealthy situation that they go sick. Their whole immune system needs to compensate for that. As a result, there's all kind of endocrine and exocrine regulations which are taking place, which exosomes and endosomes, cells crying out to each other and to others of, okay, I cannot deal with this anymore because this situation is so sick, I don't know how to do this. And then these exosomes, also called virus, then travels from the one to the other until there's somebody who says, well, actually, this is how you do that. best way you escape from the duck farm and go back to flying out in nature. Or if you can't do that, find another solution. Our immune system is our ability to do that. So we learn to operate in different manners. Again, boy meets girl, suddenly boy learns about the girl way of experiencing things. Girl learns about boy way of experiencing things, and together they can do more. Human walking in the world, crossing a territory into another land, discovers that there's all other languages that you can speak, there's other ways that you can dress, other ways that you can interact. Suddenly you learn more. And in that way we can learn more than one language, we can learn to dress in different ways. People do that also as a game. They have work clothing, and they have dinner clothing, they have clothing to go out. All of them are like signals of this is the game I now play, join me or do your own thing. In that way people learn new language, learn more behavior, learn to adapt more, learn to accommodate more. And in puberty that's how they then learn to become more than what they were, because they learn from others to be differently. They learn in other situations that things can be different, and they can resolve and dissolve their need for normalitis. They're not scared, they're not afraid, because instead of being fearful, they just see that there's something new to discover. That's what science is about. When scientists say that this is scientific, they're not scientists, they're fundamentalists of a religion. Scientists explore the unknown, adolescents explore the unknown, and by exploring they acquire new capabilities, new potential, new capacities. They can do new things, and learning new things become inviting and exciting. It creates enthusiasm instead of fear. So people who are stuck in their normalitis conditioning, when things change, they don't know what to do. They go back to child, they go back to being a baby and start to holler and shout and do nothing. And the people who have crossed into puberty discover that, okay, this is something new. Now, what can I do to deal with this? So coping internally becomes coping externally. And again, third order system in the body is all about that. It's the neurocrine system. It's also the fight flight system on the outside and the fear faint system on the inside. So in puberty, people shift from the dependence of baby and child with the fear and faint response. I cannot do anything out there, so I need to do it inside. And a lot of diseases like depression come from that. The rabbit playing dead when the eagle flies over. People playing dead when circumstances change. Populations going into dependency mode when governments suddenly start to decree all kind of nonsense. And the other side of it is that people realize, no, if there's a change out there, I can do a change on the inside, and I can compensate for that. I can do something new because things are new. And in that way, they learn, discover and develop more and more and more. So I've now juxtaposed normalitis with normal development in puberty. I now need to combine that with what goes wrong. And in order to do so, I need to briefly go back to that story of Bert Verveen. He's the man who realized that health is based on the continued coherence of cell communication. As I mentioned before, the zygote, the first cell, divides from the matter dissolves, the molecules evaporate, the atoms discharge from material to molecular to atomic. It goes from physical to chemical to electromagnetic into phase space, into the immaterial. And from the immaterial, it bounces back. The atoms rearrange, the molecules rearrange, the materials rearrange. So the electromagnetic resorts the molecular, the chemical, which then redefines the physical, the material. Our whole body is based on that principle. It is the consciousness are the information which we have within us of the environment, which then specifies the regulatory system, the neurons and the hormones, the fight flight on the outside, the fear faint on the inside. That then defines the physiology, which kind of hormones do the job, the gods of the Olympus in action, and that then sculpts the landscape of the body as things grow more or less larger or smaller, and the body is consequential. Anatomy is the result of the physiology. Physiology is the result of the neurocrine, the electromagnetic regulation, which is the result of the consciousness by which we live. And in puberty, we learn to redefine that. We learn to reset the boundaries. We learn to recondition the conditions. Instead of being conditioned, we can now condition the conditions. It's a tricky thing because it requires that you step out of the yes and no story into the yes and no story. You need to realize that it is not either yes or no, the fearful thing that babies are living in, because they can't see what's coming outside of their perspective, that they're limited by their event horizon. But in puberty, they learn to look out, they learn to look beyond. So out of that, they then see that there is more to see, they discover that, they find that there's other ways to deal with that. They learn to speak Chinese and Turkish and other languages. They learn to ride a bicycle, drive a car, fly a plane, and launch rockets. Every time they learn more. So in puberty, it is that kind of transition that takes place in the normal situation. So the normal development is that in puberty, third order system, the critical boundary of the system, you pass from one side to the other and discover that there is more. Enthusiasm replaces fear, interest replaces apathy, and normalitis is replaced by enthusiasm. This would be the normal situation, but in many cases this is not what happens. And this is not what happens, not because of circumstances, not because of conditions, but because of other people. People interconnect with other people, and in puberty normally there would be, in many tribes there is, a ceremony in which the individual is released from the family and enters into society. And anthropology, that's often presented as if it is a sexual thing, that they can now mate and have a mate, find a mate, look for mates, go out hunting for mates, and all that kind of stories. But actually, it is the transition from childhood into adolescence, which is from being dependent but self-standing into being autonomous but not yet sovereign. That it is possible to now discover for yourself what you are, what you want to live, that you are able to realize that other people do that differently and respect that they do that and should do that and can do that, that the boy respects the girl, this girl respects the boy, and that there is no compulsion of any kind involved on that. But it is also a learning phase, that in learning to take care of yourself, you also learn that there are needs which should not be greed, but needs that are shared and thus turn into care. So puberty is that phase of stepping out of individuality and the identity as an individual into the identity with others. In adolescence, that is then developed, that people realize that they are different from others and that makes them the same as all others, but they're not there yet to know how them being unique fits in with everybody else being unique also. They can realize that they're a piece of the puzzle, but they cannot yet puzzle the pieces. And so in healthy societies, individuals are then invited to go into, let's call the youth club, or the the Tonga Island, they had that house for the youth. They live together, have sex together, experience together, explore together as youth, so that together they can be not children. They can live their own life, but they do that together with their peers. And as peers discover that there is something else that will come later, which is life as an adult, with children, with farming, with caring, with giving, with nurturing and all that. So it is as if they are for a moment disconnected to society, and together can reconnect to society and themselves in a different way. So they're out of gear, and in many societies that is the era of the student, the living in society but outside of society. That would be, that's also called the wonder years. You need to get out of your limitations to discover that there is more, and also to discover that in all else that there is, you need to be different. You need to do things differently. You need to break out of the normalitis. In many student clubs, they have initiations. In many social clubs, they have initiations. In many societies, they have initiations. These are experiences as a result of which people can sense and experience things are different now, and I need to rediscover how to do this now. I need to go back to beginner's mind. I need to rediscover what it is to be, because everything by which I have defined myself has only been fitting the mold in which I grew up. I now need to repot the plant. In astrology, that is where Gemini takes it out of the little pot and puts it into the garden. So in that third stage of Gemini, the transition then takes place from the part into the whole by getting out of the stuck situation of where the part originated, to be repotted, to be able to regrow in a different manner. And then, having had that freedom to rediscover the world, to rediscover humanity, to rediscover others and rediscover self, the bonds of normalitis are shattered. And normalitis is just one way of doing things, complemented by many other ways of doing things. Instead of just having one instrument in the toolkit, there is a whole toolkit with all kinds of different instruments, and the human has developed into being able to express in different manners, in different ways, in different circumstances, as the Buddhists say, in the right place, in the right time, in the right manner, for the right purpose. So it starts to fit because you can make it fit. Instead of the fear, faint, internal adaptation, fight and flight now get into the story as well. The external adaptation, as mentioned before, is also the capability to recondition the conditions, but also to know what you can change and what you cannot change, and to navigate accordingly. And so puberty is that critical conditioning, third order system, in which you go from the closed system through the boundary into the open system, exactly that transition from relativity theory into quantum theory, that you realize that every next step can be into the unknown and things will be different. Normalitis steps out of the equation, reflexes no longer determine your life, habit no longer says or dictates how it is, and others will no longer tell you or dictate how it is. That is where things go wrong in so many cultures and societies, because at the moment people go into puberty, then they learn government tells you what the law is, and the bank tells you what your value, what your worth is. So they are not allowed to grow up. Instead of being free to develop, they now become part of a group which simply becomes their surrogate parent. The bank account becomes an umbilic feeding the banks, and the voting is a voice to empower others. So it is the shedding of responsibility, it is a losing of authority, it's the losing of autonomy, And this is in fact a disease, and a lot of people cannot cope with it, cannot deal with that, because they know things are one way, but they are being told by others around them, a group of others, a bunch of idiots, so to say, that simple Simon says, and you have to comply, be complicit, be complacent, and be culpable in whatever happens. You are part of the group now, and you have to do what the group does, otherwise you need to go out. In that kind of situation, people need to realize that they need to go out. If, as Groucho Marx said, I don't want to be a member of a group that wants to have me as a member. If a group puts dictates on you and how you need to behave in order to be part of that group, then somebody else tells you what to be, how to be, why to be, and when to be, which means that you're back in slavery. A lot of people cannot deal with that, cannot cope with that, so they have to sort of address that, and the only way that they can address that is by falling back on the internal, not the fight and flight, but the fear and faint. Had they switched off, they lock off from this environment, they isolate themselves within themselves, they go into hibernation, depression, alienation. They are there, still there, but they're not there. They created a barrier between them and their environment, and in doing so, shut themselves off, but the environment will still have demands, because it's demanding, it's an unfull-grown society. And it will have demands, imposed demands, taxation, pay interest on the money, all that kind of things. There are so many kind of demands which show that it is a non-adult society. But people don't know what to do with that, so they compensate and they start to go into make-believe and pretense. They go back into childhood, playing games. So they play that they have a job, they play that they are a citizen, they play that they're obedient, and they at the same time have all these kind of compensation behaviors in which they can still express themselves in their own manner. Somebody once told me a carnival where everybody dress up in costumes and behaves differently is the 4 days in the year that you can be yourself. So a lot of people have then this environment which pretends to be normal, claims to be normal, imposes all kind of routines, rituals and regulations, and so then says that this is the way it's supposed to be. A bunch of people comes to you and say this is the way it is, and as John Ash and others said, when you're confronted with a lot of people who drive on the left hand side on the road, you presumably will at some point drive on the left hand side of the road as well. As he put it, there were the people who were in the elevator, and when more and more came in, they all looked at the back of the elevator instead of at the front, which is of course at the front is where you see the door open and close and where you need to step out. And after a while, the people who stood in the elevator, which had nothing to do with that experiment, turned around and started to face away from the door because everybody else was doing so. So social pressure, peer pressure, group pressure, conditioning by others is a kind of slave model. And in that kind of approach, you can see that individuals then recruit groups to amplify, repeat what they're doing, taking away the choice of the groups. You see that a lot in cults, in religions, in branches of society, branches of science, that people start to have conformal consensus behavior, but they do not have their own responsibility anymore on why that behavior is there. Very often it is in a hierarchic system, and then somebody says, well, this is the reason why you need to do that. And then instead of people going in puberty into autonomy and self-reliance and discovering how they need to behave in that situation, they become complicit, compliant, complacent, and start to fall in with the behavior of others. They go from individual think to group think. And that is very unhealthy because essentially, as I mentioned before, groups are irresponsible and unconscious. So their behavior is determined by irresponsible and unconscious people. So in their mind, they've gone away from spiritual awakening in puberty to spiritual falling asleep. They go back in this slumber state and back into an apathy instead of an excitement in life, a loss of liveliness, a loss of involvement and interest in life takes place. It is a pathology. And so in society there are many ways in which we can see that individuals, when they need to discover their uniqueness, instead are told by others that they should not do that. They can only vote for the parties that are already existing. Or if they want to set up their party, they need to do that by rules, which actually limit them in the way that they can do that. For example, they need to have money in order to be able to do that. So there are always others which tell them what to do and how to do it. And if you look at the ways that has been done, then you can find that churches do that, corporations do that, governments do that, mafia families, they do that. And all of them prevent the individual from discovering or realizing their uniqueness. Instead, they're told that they need to be the same as others, and need to behave like others, be like others, do like others, and die like others. That's specifically what you see in the military. If you don't go out and kill others, then we will kill you. There are so many distorted views in humanity that when you start to look at them, start to look for them, you find that there is a lot to be remedied. At this moment, I wish to remedy closing the door so that the sound of the vacuum cleaner in the next room can be a bit further away. As I mentioned in the previous story, it's all about creating and eliminating boundaries, and in the story now to respect and realize the meaning and the purpose of boundaries. So when people grow up in humanity, in adolescence, they learn that they are different, but they also discover that they are only half human, and together with other half humans they can be more. So something else in them turns on. They learn to become more varied, more faceted. But if external influences, which is always other people, tell them that they should not be what they are, then they go in compensation behavior and they create an internal madness, and it is that internal madness that reflects as external madness. Because people who have been locked up in themselves because other people say that they should not do that, could not do that, may not do that, or cannot do that, are unable to do what they can do. The compensation behavior internally is that the personality is fragmented. Subpersonalities are created while they lock away from society. Society puts all these demands on them. So they create a special robot reflex, normalitis, conditional behavior specifically for the outside. They put on a mask, they wear a habit, they dress up in a uniform, an I form, and pretend to be like the others, look like the others, behave like the others, but it has nothing to do with them. They cannot connect it to what they are because the others are doing something differently, are doing different things. And so in that sense, people can then end up having different personalities which are totally opposite from having different capacities. If you go travel the world and you go from one country to the other country to the other country and you speak the languages in those cultures, and know how the eating and how the dressing, how the conversation takes place in those cultures, You fit in, and you fit in because you know how that works, because you've learned how to work that. It has become part of you, it has become skill and capacity. But if other people demand something of you which is not connected to you, then you will have the responses, but they will not be connected to yourself, to your soul, but they will just be by reflex. Yes, you can parrot what they do, you can ape as they do, you can mirror and reflect what they do, but at that moment you've entered into the domain of Narcissus. And Narcissus was all about gazing in reflections and disregarding echo, also reflections. And Narcissus is about people who are alienated in their lives. They're disconnected. They do not see how they fit in, for the simple reason that what they want to do has been denied or ignored by others. As a result of which, they cannot discover how they can do things differently, but instead they just reflect what others do. And this is the core of psychopathy of multiple personality parts. In those cases, usually there is a dominant, aggressive other who inflicts demands on somebody and says, well, you have to do this, you have to do that in that manner, you have to do it now, and you have to do it in this way. And then people are like slaves, conditioned and trained to do that. And behaviorism is actually a large-scale application of that principle. It imposes behavior on people by saying, this is the way you should behave, now you need to do it. Conditioning behavior, conditioning reflexes. Communist socialist states use the same. They say, well, okay, this is the behavior now you have to do, now you need to do it. And that leads to people who will comply, most often because they're threatened for their lives. In cults you can see the same. So they have the behavior accordingly, but it is separate from themselves, because it is a reflex system, it's a reflex behavior. And people who have been in cults at some point cannot connect to that part of how they were when they were in that cult, for the simple reason that it was not connected to their soul, it was not connected to by their choice, it was created within them by what is called mind control. CIA is an operative of mind control. COVID-19 was a mind control exercise. There's so many of these mind control operations going on that a lot of people are not aware. When they stop thinking and simply do what somebody else says. If you look at the amount of people who in the COVID era have had themselves been injected with something untested, something they did not know what it was, simply because they trusted others, like a baby or a child, and believed others, like a child or a baby, and did not decide for themselves. So they did not connect to their own choice. Soul actually is the core of having own choice. So they alienated from their soul. And what you end up with is de-souled or zombie-like existence. So people in cults, when they come out of the cults, they then discover that they have been living this zombie life, conditioned by the environment, but not living their own unique identity, integrity, and intent. And communist states, socialist states, even had the advertising of capitalist states. There are so many ways in which other people try to control your mind, to control your actions, and all of it is based on a manipulation of belief. Again, what we're talking about now is that third order system. Belief too is a third order system. First order system, choice. Second order system, decision. Third order decision, the conviction. And puberty is where you then need to learn to define your own convictions. After having taken a decision, you do the test ride in that conviction, that belief that you have, out of that decision. A decision is simply, I choose to believe this now, I choose to hold this to be real. And then by your belief, you inside of you make it real, you pretend it is real, you try it out, you do a test drive in that kind of realization. And then by your actions, you live that out, you act that out and experience the harvest of that decision. And if that decision does not work, you take a new decision. So in puberty, you learn how to decide and decide again. And also, if you make a wrong decision, to replace that by a functional, another decision, just until you got it right. But if a society is there around you with people who don't allow for that, who don't do that, who don't know how to do that, then you live in a society which is ritualized in beliefs and which is also caught up in convictions. But if people do not know that they have these convictions, because they don't know what their reflexes are, they don't know what their convictions are, they don't know how their beliefs originated, then they cannot tell the difference between them and the group. Because when you look at a group, as I mentioned before, a group is a relationship of relationships of individuals. It's a third order system. So the group operates at the level of the unconscious, which is also the level of belief. And so when people are in a group, they are required to interact with the group at the level of their unconscious, because in the group they together act out their beliefs. But the people who have not learned to connect to their beliefs, their convictions, because they went to school, they had conditioned behavior training in their family, they had a society around them which used advertising and convictions and beliefs to tell them what was true or supposedly true. They never came around to ask the question, what determines the value of money? Why is my vote changed into a decision concerning me which I do not agree with? When people do not ask those questions, they cannot see that there is an immense difference between their living life as an individual and their belief of living life in a group. And so now we can bring it down to the core of the whole story, that with the understanding that people have freedom of choice and with the understanding that we develop authority and autonomy in our own life by discovering how we are different than they're and all the same, and by discovering that our life must be based on our decisions, based on our choices, then we need to realize that it cannot be that our life is being lived by others, by governments, by states, by corporations, by beliefs, by anything else, without it being questioned. So in a way, it is necessary for people to realize or discover that whatever is presented to them as this is how it is, that they need to be able to create that themselves. If the bank says this is the value of money, then they need to learn to create their own bank. If a government says that this is the laws you need to live by, they need to learn to make their own government. If the society says, well, this is how you need to relate to others, then they need to create their own society to discover how they can relate. Most importantly, it is about that transition of being lived to living. And at the core of that is the discovery and the detection of that pathology of being lived by others in the form of subpersonalities and their reflex compensation behavior in response to some threat from outside, and the abolishment and elimination of these subpersonalities. That people learn that all of the conflicts which are in society are there because people individually have those conflicts and they do not between them and amongst them eliminate those conflicts. And the same is what you see in the neurological system. The sensory cell has a response to the vibration in the environment. The neuron then relays it but sort of tunes it to fit into the body. Fourier code, that's called. Then it goes into the neural plexus where it is selectively amplified. And it is in that way that when people have discrepancies within them, that within groups, those discrepancies get selectively amplified. That's this third order system. That's this what happens in the neural plexus, the moiré array. When you have one T-sieve over the other, you can suddenly see large and small squares. You can amplify and make things smaller as a result of that. So that signal amplification suppression takes place in societies, and everything that is not resolved within the individuals can become amplified in societies. So vetico, the madness in society, can be there because it gets amplified because people within them have that. They don't resolve that, so they start to play out on that wavelength, but they don't realize that they have shifted from being sold or being involved and being responsible in what they do to being lived by a reflex which they created in order to compensate for something that they didn't know how to interact with. And as a result, that becomes the dominant behavior in the society. Lots of people let themselves be injected. Lots of doctors let the government decide for them how they should do their medical practice in contradistinction and contradiction to everything that they have been learned. A corporation suddenly imposed that people need to get injections and wear masks and all that, while healthcare regulations of the government already said that people should not wear masks unless in very specific circumstances, and people may not be injected for whatever experiment because the Nuremberg Code already realized that that's not a good thing. So at the moment that people stop thinking, then the collective group think can't take over. At the moment that people are brought into fear, they stop thinking. So the whole emergence of group madness is possible because the madness doesn't exist within the group. It simply already existed within the individuals. The vetico, the crazy behavior of societies, is there because people have been individually conditioned to create compensation behavior, as a result of which they enter into a form of normalitis, a behavior which, according to the society, is supposedly normal, but it is not healthy. It is a reflex behavior, but that circumstance is unnatural. And that's where you can then see that that's also typical for the third order system. People start to project something and they start to respond to their projections. The psychopath projects things on people. The psychopath reflects the behavior of other people, as a result of which people get confused. That's also the reason why psychopaths and narcissists have such an ease in working with groups of people, because in groups of people it's the disconnected behavior which can start to dominate. And narcissists and psychopaths have learned to separate themselves in themselves. They have reflex system working on them. They can easily recognize the reflexes in others. They have their reflexes interact with the reflex of others. Reflexes are a thousand times faster than you can think. So their reflexes trigger your reflexes, and then in a group of people, they orchestrate the whole group of people, because they learned to use their reflexes in the same way as politicians use armies. And then it's an ongoing warfare in humanity. There is a lot more to be said to deepen this story, because everything that I've just said about individuals learning to develop their own identity, integrity, and puberty, but also as a result having the possibility that people actually turn that against them, so that people can become locked up in themselves in a behavior of alienation internally, with multiple personalities internally, all of which multiple personalities are reflex programs, simply mirroring, a narcissistic mirroring of something somebody did from outside. And then when people shift from choosing for themselves, which is also always slower, to letting the reflexes sort them out, then if they have these multiple defensive subpersonality reflexes, which are basically aggressing others because that's the way they think that they can defend themselves against others, then that kind of unconscious, irresponsible aggression goes into the society. It gets bounced around between different people in society. And then in humanity, you see these pathologies of reflex-driven, unconscious, irresponsible behavior. And the only way to stop that is by people realizing that it is happening. When people interact with narcissistic, psychopath, sociopath, first thing they need to do is to block the other from them, because they need to block the reflex-driven behavior of the other from their choices. They need to put a barrier between the reflex-driven other and themselves, so that their reflexes do not start to relate to the reflexes of the other. There are many circumstances and situations in which people have reflexes interacting with reflexes. I know some people whose relationship is totally distorted because their reflexes took over a part of their life, and their reflexes then respond to each other. And essentially you can say there's nobody at home, because the reflexes, in the past called the devils, play out the scenarios of the past, no longer connected to the reflex. They think it is normal, the normalitis scenario. And so they are lived in the present by their past, because they cannot turn off that reflex. And that is why it's so important that people turn off the reflex behavior by the of the narcissistic psychopath other, who often try to dominate societies by manipulating the reflexes. So the only way out is that people learn to not reflex by reflex react to the reflexes of others, to stop that process, cut the normalitis straight away, and realize that they need to create new behavior, and that the reflexes cannot determine that behavior, that they come back to their senses, away from zombie mode, away from vertigo mode, into, okay, in this situation, I don't know what to do. I need to discover something new. I need to learn. I need to understand. And evidently, there's something in me which can cope with this, which can deal with this, because humanity has been living for billions of years already. So there will be something in me which knows how to do that. How in the universe does this happen? And that's where the spiritual training schools say, let go, let God. God means generate, operate, destroy. Generate, operate, and destroy the boundaries, the distinctions. Operate the freedom of choice. Flip the quantum. Enter into the other reality. Take responsibility for what you do. And then take the bite of that apple. Digest it, play it out, and see how you experience that until you get it right.